Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit with Helen and Cookie this Monday afternoon about supper time, the 23rd of August, 71. Channel 2 over, and a continuation of the visit with Cookie and Helen this Monday afternoon about supper time, the 23rd of August, 71.
And in that same length of time, we tore down three or four log corn cribs and burned them. Great, I mean logs. They were that. They were made out of stuff that big around and yay long. I don't know how long we tore. We tore log corn cribs, and this man that had lived there before had. Oh, they were just full of junk and rats. You know, everything was in there. We just cleaned it out. So there were some of them were old buildings and things. We burned there for days and days and days and days. I could Leo get a hold of one and I get a hold of the other. And all you could do to lift and tug them, but
we worked like horses. Now there ain't no doubt about it.
And
well, now what were you doing?
Just trying to clean up.
Clean up the old crib?
We tore it down.
Oh, you're tearing it down?
We got rid of the cribs.
There's too many rodents in it.
Everything.
That's right. I mean, it was. When we left there, that was one of the nicer looking country homes as there was.
It was just, so what do they call it? What is it, a Jen Lynn home?
Just a Jen Lynn frame house.
Frame house. And now Leo wasn't there when I tore the paper out, the paper. And I was glad it wasn't sold there but me. And the little ones, you know, of course. And I got it out of there just as quick as I could. There was about 6 to 8 layers of wallpaper in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Layer over layer. Oh, that was.
Was it plastered?
No,
it was just up against old. See the house.
The ceiling
was
board.
Just big boards, you know.
Rough board, just like this.
Rough board,
just like this.
That's
it's
what
rough board.
Uh huh. And 6 to 8 layers of paper now that I tore off there myself, drug it out to the trash pile and burned it. Wasn't it? So I know one time they sent some of the kids up there to see if the house was. One of the boys to see if I had set the house on fire. They saw the smoke sign. But it wasn't anyone there. I said I was glad. I never saw such a dirty man.
You know, around the house, it had a huge porch. We went all the way down this side and all the way down here. An L-shaped porch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That way you can get the wind from all directions but one.
And if you get in the right corner, you can get it there.
Almost.
Get on the corner of the porch here. Corner over here,
yeah.
You can just about get it there.
Yeah.
And it was two and three rooms across the back and a hall. 5 rooms and a hallway that I tore all the paper out of and burned.
And put new paper up and had
you,
it fixed up real nice.
Leo helped me paper it, but I did all the dirty work. I tore it all down, took it all out, and cleaned it all out ready to paper.
You weren't taking any chances on that, were you?
No, he was busy, you know, on the farm work. There's other farm work to be done, and that was all the work he had. So I was just doing that to, you know, besides, after we got all that done, we finally got all the cribs and things torn. And what was the last thing we did? Move the toilet.
Right.
Outdoor toilet?
Outdoor.
Yes, sir. And we moved it.
Put it farther away.
And
moved it to a different
made
location.
Made a new, you know, everything new and fixed it up. And that was job.
I set it and put it on a sled.
It had a little branch creek, you know. We had to go down to dip in and dip out twice to get that thing moved.
And took these horses, these horses' mama down here and moved that toy.
Mm-hmm. I helped.
That's
it.
All you need. Just put it on a little sled.
That's right.
But we had this little dip. We couldn't take it across the little bridge. We had to take it down this little dip and almost lost it on the sled. And then we had to bring it back up and through the yard and then back down another little dip and we almost lost it again.
Well, we got it there.
But you had a little creek close to you.
Uh-huh.
Just one horse?
Just one horse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we worked, though.
Oh, we worked like horses. Eat good, had plenty to eat. It wasn't a variety, but we had plenty of it.
We didn't have any doctor bills. They were all healthy.
No, you didn't need aspirin or
tranquilizer. No, you're too tired at night, you went to sleep.
And you didn't have any neighbors barking at you?
That's right. No neighbors barking.
Well, why'd you take that shed down? It just had so much.
It was so old and rotten, and the roof was rotted off of it, and it was, in other words, it was just in summertime, it was just a snake harbor for the kids.
Yeah.
So we just cleaned it all out.
You couldn't set a match to it.
Not the way it was.
Could have, but if the forestry department would have caught you, they'd strung you up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you've got them up there to help you.
Another thing I did, I took all that old paling fence down around the garden.
That's right.
That every other paling fell down.
Yeah.
You took that all down.
I took it all down.
Cleaned it up.
Burned and some of it's rotten, you know, and I got rid of all that, and it was a big old patch.
Well, is that a little settlement up there?
No.
That's the only other house, right? Your daddy's.
No, well, his Alberta, you know, they live. There's another one, but they're never close together. They're just farm houses. Mm-hmm. Scattered, you know.
In the hollow.
In the hollow.
Now that one was in the hollow.
Seven houses within a distance of about 2 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Seven houses.
But this this particular house where we live was back farther off the road than any.
It was way back off the road. It was as far off of the grade road as from here to the back pasture.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Mm-hmm. You can see the house, but getting to it.
I mean, you've got two or three hoops and hollers to get over before you get to it.
Now, who'd you have, Babe, then?
No, I had, I had a number of horses, didn't I?
We had Charlie and Judy as the ones you worked then.
I had Charlie and Judy, a little pair of horses. And then I had...
Babe was still living, yeah. We were Babe.
Oh, yeah, Babe. She was a member.
Babe, of now, the mama of these horses... was the front one that Frank climbed up the back leg to fix the trays when he was 3 years old.
Then I had old Pet
had
and Myrtle.
Time, but she's kind of slick, but he's trying.
I had old Pet and Myrtle, the ones that we got from Brownie Moore. When Dad bought those 14 cows and a pair of horses and 100 bushel corn and 3 haystacks and 2 hogs for $900.
Bought him out?
Bought him out, lock, stock, and barrel.
Well, he had one cow that he could have sold in the very beginning. It was one they called Old Bud. Anytime she wanted to go through a fence and something was greener on the other side, she just went through the fence.
Not much you could do about it.
Oh, she was huge.
When he sold her,
she was huge.
She weighed 1,600 pounds.
There was just no fence to hold her.
What did they do? Just put the head under it and lift it?
See, if she could get her nose started through.
Yeah.
She went on through.
Because it was all rusted out.
Well, there was one particular apple.
You didn't have any new wire.
No new wire at all.
There was one particular apple tree that she loved, and it would have killed her if she'd eaten too many. And that's the one where Mom and I constantly fixed fence.
And see, Helen and Mom done all the fence building.
Yeah, we some days we just spend days walking the fence, fixing fence. It's either fix the fence or run them out of the haystack all the time. You know, that's where we took the hay into the barn.
Yeah.
We had three great big haystacks in front of our house. Frank was 3 years old, and he had a broken off hay rake. I mean,
pitchfork.
I mean, the handle was broken off. Grandpa, and that was Frank's hay pitchfork. And we went down, and we had to feed the cattle, and we had to feed the cattle in two places. And the horses. You had to keep the horses one place because they wouldn't eat the cows. And
they'd bite them.
They ended up with all the feed. And we'd have to walk across the swampy area now, and it'd sometimes be frozen in ice, and Frank would just go sloshing. It didn't bother him. And he'd help me carry hay, and we'd feed the cattle.
Well, he's gotten on doing work.
Yeah. He's 3 years old.
And Lard stay in the house with Perry Dane.
Keep it so she wouldn't get in the fire. Or I had a dog then that would babysit for me.
Now you had the haystacks.
Mm-hmm.
Stacked out.
We just fed out of the haystack. And you couldn't let the cattle get in, they'd eat all the hay.
Yeah.
So
well,
you had
they wouldn't eat
it. Well, they'd tear it up, you know, and mess it.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't have it to be wasted. We couldn't
Oh, they are so wasteful when they get sued.
Mm-hmm.
They just tromp over it and tromp it in the mud.
Yeah.
And it's just gone, man.
They wouldn't eat it, or you couldn't sell it to them.
We spent days working fence. 60 cents. Up one hill and down the other.
Problem.
They'd always get the rockiest place to get out. Like where you couldn't hardly stand.
Or dig a hole. Like Daddy told you last night. We all worked.
Yeah.
We all worked.
Well, they took everyone working.
Yeah, you could set a post in a rocky place.
Yes, sir.
You know, I didn't know you could set a post in an right by an oak tree until I come down here. But you keep looking.
You'll find a place.
Yeah, and I guess same way with rock.
That's right.
If you don't bust your post over there.
Now, what we did an awful lot back home, of course, it wouldn't work down here. We would take and sharpen our posts.
Oh, really?
One end of it sharpened. Mm-hmm. Then we would spud a hole.
I thought you were supposed to roll on that one.
We would spud a hole for that post. Take that post down in there. Then take a knot maul. About that, all about that big square, and drive that post in the ground about 2.5 feet.
Well, poor old me, I thought you were supposed to sharpen the end of the hole. Don't sharpen down here?
No, we dig a hole down here. Well, down here, if you got started driving one, why, you could just drive it out of sight.
Keep going. But I just seen so many sharpened fence posts. I didn't see anything about it.
I never saw a sharpened fence post.
You never?
Never saw one.
I'll sharpen my axe and sharpen one and show you what it looks like.
You don't have one to sharpen these old treated ones.
We had used round locust posts.
Posts. What in the world hasn't got a fence post?
Yes. Well, I've got some locusts here. We can. How long do you let them cure?
We cut them down and sharpen them and put them in the ground.
Before they cure.
That's right.
How big they ought to be before you cut them?
Most fence posts about like that, weren't they?
We never put a fence post up there is about 4 or 5 inches.
Uh-huh.
But now anything below that's just a stake.
Yes. Well, do you get a big tree and split it? Or
yes, sir.
That's better.
That's better.
Yeah. But I don't have enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
And when Dad builds a fence, it's tight. It's just tight. He stretches that wire as tight as a fiddle string.
He don't like to just hang it up there.
No, sir. When he builds a fence, you got a fence.
Yeah. But he hadn't been doing that forever.
Ever since I can remember, when he built a fence, it was built.
I tell you one thing, you had to find a place where you'd get through a fence.
You couldn't spread that wire
spread
through. Uh-uh.
Oh.
Well, that's woven wire.
No, sir, that's barbed
wire.
And it wouldn't spread?
You couldn't spread it enough
he'd
to crawl through
it. He put it on his fence post tight, it wouldn't stretch.
How many strands you put?
6 strands.
Good God. Where's the Bremers?
6 grand when he turned the hog out, he wanted that hog to stay in that field.
Oh, he did that for hogs.
For hogs and sheep and everything. When he put anything in the field up there, it's going to stay
barbed
there.
Barbed wire.
Mm-hmm.
Barbed wire.
Okay.
No, you can go out. He doesn't have sheep now, does he? But you can go out and pick the wool off the fence, off the barbed wire. We always go home, you know, the girls would always bring things back for school. That's the last thing they do. Go out and pick the wool off the barbed wire.
Yeah.
Yes, my fella. 6 strand of barbed wire fence.
And that goes clear back as far as you can remember.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something else about Grandpa. It's real funny. You know, working the hay and just wherever you worked where you cook. If you'd be working at our house, you know, where I was living then, we cook at our house. Some of the Alberta would come in and help, and Grandma would come and help, and we'd all cook. Anyway, he had killed a mutton, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Someone wanted half of one. Well, the only way he would kill it is if I'd take the other half. He just wasn't about to eat.
All right.
So I said, well, I'll be glad to. I always take anything, you know. And I put up, I had the time freezer, you know, on the top of the refrigerator. So come time, my time to cook for the men and the hay. And I fixed that, and I never told him. He ate it just like it was good.
But
he didn't know the difference. But he wouldn't have touched it had he known.
Well, you know, you can, you don't have to barbecue it. You can cook that, and it looks like beef.
Well, I didn't barbecue it. I cooked it.
Yeah.
I cooked it.
Cooked it and then rolled it.
I always used a lot of onions and things in it, you know. And
yeah.
I
rolled it in flour and put it in a skillet and got it good and brown. And it was good.
Oh, it's been many days since
it was
I ate anything
funny.
Like that.
But I waited a week or two and then I told him what I ate. I told him about it.
Yeah.
I just had to, but I waited.
Yeah.
And
the first time Albert and Junior brought Mom and Dad down to see us, we lived in Umatilla. And me and
they run the taxi?
Griffin. Yeah, they used to.
me and Robert Griffin from down to Umatilla. We're good buddies. And Robert gave me a whole bunch. I mean, a whole big pan full of gator meat.
Which is illegal.
No, it ain't.
But we ate it.
And then he gave me some soft shell turtle.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever eat the soft shell
mm-hmm.
turtle? No,
mm-hmm.
it's delicious.
And he told me how to cook it.
Yeah.
He gave me the recipe, he goes with it.
he gave us the recipe and told us how to cook it. And you know my dad eats that gator tail, we call it, and thought it was pork chops.
Yeah, I don't believe he'd touch it if I had told him.
He wouldn't have touched it.
I told him afterwards, but I didn't tell him before.
And he ate that turtle and thought it was a baby deer.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have touched it. No way.
He's so touchy about things like that.
Is that right? He likes what he's always had?
It tickles me, though. He's so touchy about things, and he gets attached to something. He just couldn't eat it all, you know. But it's always good if he doesn't know what it is. That was like I fixed stew yesterday. I take over there and I see. And I had a great big bowl of stew. And I started to say, well, I had read someplace in one of the new magazines I had to put a can of mushroom soup. And I heard Grandma or Alberta once say, oh, Daddy doesn't like mushrooms. I said, well, I won't tell him. And I just went ahead and put it in anyway.
He didn't like it.
And they were remarking about the stew, and they thought it was good. He said, boy, that was good stew, wasn't it? And I didn't get around to telling him 10 mushrooms yet. But now
it
don't
hurt him, it's just his
taste. It's just his thoughts.
It's his thoughts.
It's just a thought about it. Now he thought it was good.
Yeah.
Now he'd have thought something about it if I'd have told him.
Well, now how did he get into that? He'd always had that country cooking.
But
and he didn't use mushrooms.
No.
That's only wild mushrooms. We'd go out in the woods and get them.
He'd eat that?
Yes, my brother. He'd get them and fry them. Man, you ain't eating nothing better.
And he'd eat it?
Yes,
but it's just the idea, just the thought of it all. He's so funny about that. He tickles me.
What
does
he do?
Like
it just take him a while or what?
No, he just won't eat it if he knows what it is. He'll leave it alone. If
yeah,
it's something
well,
he thinks he didn't want.
Well, after he's eaten it, it's all right. He won't eat it again?
I doubt it. If I tell him what it was. But you just...
Well, what is it? He's just hard-headed?
Yeah. I guess that's really it.
It's
always been hard-headed.
But just one thing he didn't eat. It was so funny. They had tame rabbits. One got out and he couldn't catch it. He killed it. He chased that thing all over the place and he ended up killing it.
Yeah.
Well, Grandma cleaned it up and put it in the freezer. We ended up eating it. She fixed it and we started home one time. We ate rabbit all the way back to Florida.
And for a week afterwards.
But he never... Now, that's one thing he didn't get. He didn't get saved.
He won't eat tame rabbits.
No, it tickles me though.
Well, a man's right. Got a right to a few ideas, I guess. Well, now, your mama, she doesn't put anything over on him.
No, she'll generally fix it, too, but I like to hear it once in a while, just for the fun of it. I was always the one elected to, when Grandma had to go off someplace, I was the one elected to go stay and do the cooking.
Uh-huh. Yeah. None of the rest of them went.
That was my job.
Well, Well, now, when you all were getting your work done up there, and wherever you were, you do the cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of you, is at your house,
uh-huh.
all three of you get together and do the cooking.
Uh-huh. Sometimes they'd bring something from their house, you know. They'd cook while they were doing something that morning, and then
yeah.
they'd come and put it all together. My land sometimes would have three and four tables.
The workers.
Workers.
Oh, my goodness.
You take me and... And dad. And
sometimes we'd have they'd have to hire mm-hmm. help, you know. And
if we could.
When you get working in the hayfield, sometimes you.
You take.
You need extra help.
The neighbors down below that. Why us? Why?
They used to neighbors help neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd
you
all
know.
Get together.
No.
We're working up where I live. Why everybody eat at my house?
Mm-hmm.
We're working down close to Mama's. We all eat at Mama's house.
Yeah.
We're working up next to Alberta's. We all eat at Alberta's house. That saved from everybody running so far to get to dinner.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's what we did the same thing when we made molasses. We made molasses at Alberta's house. The cane patch was below her house. And we all cooked at her house.
Mm-hmm.
We all worked in the cane, and then we all took turns what days. We took turns what days to bring stuff, you know. And we all cooked, and it was a bunch of us then.
Well, now, making cane is not, serving nuts doesn't take so many hands, does it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we made it does.
Oh, yeah.
We made it in a long pan.
You got to have
you don't put
them
around
three skimmers besides the head cook.
Then you have to have one to pour the...
That many?
One to pour
oh,
the
yeah.
sir, I mean, the juice in, and one to grind. See, we were doing it by horse drawing, grinding it by the horses.
Sure.
And then one to feed the...
Cane
feed
in.
The cane, and then one to carry the syrup. I mean, the juice over to pour it in, and then when it started, you had to skim it. We had three skimmers, and then we had the one to finish it up and
the
finished it up and put it into the jars and or you know jugs.
Yeah.
And boy, it's hot to stand there and skim and skim and skim.
Oh yeah,
that's steam.
And we skimmed it from the time it started till it finished.
Well, that skimming is a critical part, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And then when you're skimming, you watch it, see whether it's ready, is that the head cook?
That's the head cook does that.
See, it's in sections, and you move it. You move it just like a blacksmith's path. It goes, you lift up a thing, and you send some more through, and then you put it down again and stop it. And you work it through that way, and when it works out this end and goes into the jug, it's finished. Oh, it's work. How many days did we spend making
it? A bigger part of 2 weeks. Down
and then you
from
cut
daylight
your
daylight to dark.
There's someone in the field to cut the cane. We cut it as we use it. We don't cut it ahead of time.
Oh, you don't.
No.
We keep so much just so it's fresh. So
it,
much going, you know. There's one
dark.
Cutting and one feeding and one carrying and one, you know.
Oh yeah.
It's work.
You got to blade it. Take the blades off of it. You got to cut it.
You blade it in the field before we cut it.
And you cut the heads off of it. And you haul it in. And haul it up to the mill. You grind it. You got to have a man to feed the mill. You got to have a man to carry the juice.
One to keep the fire going under it all.
You got to have a fireman.
You
got to
have enough wood on
hand. You got to have three skimmers. You got to have a head cook. You got to have
the bottle washers.
At least two women to take care of the molasses as they come off. And keep them in jugs and sealed up and carried into the cellar and got to have a bottle washer and
then cook besides.
And cook and wash dishes and
babysit because there was so many little ones.
Well, you didn't have, you couldn't stop, could you? And eat.
Yeah, we'd work off a pan.
We'd take turns.
Take turns. We'd eat, you know, in turns. And it'd be enough to.
Slow
the process down while you eat. In other words,
slow the operation down just a little bit.
And then you
had to have two horses to pull a
mm-hmm.
meal with.
A lot of times our evening meal didn't come till after dark.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we'd work right on, you know, till.
Well, what Gertrude said down here at Shiloh, she said the trouble. She's been making all her life. And she's elderly now, you see, but she still
mm-hmm.
loves making. But she says where they have all the fun, and also where the thing that wears them out is, they people come and bring their batch of tin to cook, you see, but they won't come till late, and that keeps them up way into the night.
Mm-hmm.
And they just out there just talking big and everything, you see, and keeping all the neighbors up.
See, we cut it as we used it. We cut it as we used it, and then what we finished up what we had cut, and the next day we'd start cutting again. I worked a little bit. I think I worked everything but feed and meal. I think I did feed the stalks.
If you cut it ahead too much, it will sour.
But too much.
If you cut it like today, and leave it late tonight and tomorrow, that cane will sour.
Is that low? Time?
Yeah, because you can't never tell. You may get up in the morning and it be raining. See?
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to leave a day's run, lay there and sour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you work under a shed, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Just an
open. No,
right
sir.
Open.
Right out in the open sunshine.
Right out in the middle of a field in the sunshine.
Down here, they have to have a shed. You know, it rains so much.
Mm-hmm.
All
no,
they got, though, is just, just real, just a shed. Just
yeah.
A
well, now, how do they make, make it in a long pan, or do they make it in a round?
No. They're making them big old syrup.
Syrup kettles.
Syrup kettles. No, that's all a little different.
That's different. But it still takes a lot of hands.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have your firebox set a certain way for it to draw. And I mean, there's a lot. You got you got to use your head when you set up to make molasses now. There ain't no getting around.
Yeah.
And you all were making molasses.
Mm-hmm.
Or
else. Not syrup. Just we were making molasses.
Yeah.
We had a man that really knew what he was doing, too. He was good.
I love molasses.
But you know there's no resemblance in this cane syrup that they make and what you buy. You know that.
No.
There's no resemblance.
There's no resemblance in the cane syrup that you make down here and what we call molasses up home either.
Well, I know that.
Uh-uh.
But up there,
all the other difference.
Up there, you could always buy a little molasses. Mm-hmm. And if you bought the store, it's still molasses. But it's not down here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just love to have me a great big plate of molasses, cow butter, and about a dozen hot biscuits.
Yeah.
It was real funny. I bought just a jar out of the store the other day called Grandma's Molasses, and ooh, they're black and thick and strong. Alice just had a little bit on some butter, and she was like, mm.
Yeah.
She didn't eat them all either. She was thinking
but
it was a good time.
But if she saw the rest of them eating, they just go along.
Well, she remembered the good kind.
Oh, yeah.
That was it. These weren't good.
Well, now, if you get the right cooker to cook, it's got body and face.
Uh-huh.
You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've had so little of the good that I know judge of it, you know.
The last we had, Grandpa bought from someone, and they were a little bit green, the color. Tasted all right. They just didn't look so hot. Thank
good
you so too. Much for the sherbet.
Oh,
it's mighty good.
Well, we enjoyed the company.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much I need to do, but I don't feel like
I think you all need a breather.
Thank you. We're supposed to be ready to go home in the last few weeks. I know. And I haven't done a thing.
Oh, is that the schedule, the last of this week?
Yeah. The cook reunion is Sunday. I told Grandma to save me a chicken leg. I might
not
get there before dinner.
The cook reunion is Sunday.
Sunday.
And you can't just go in on Sunday and start eating.
Oh, I will if that's what it has to be. Grandma said, oh, don't worry about getting anything. I said, well, I just don't sit back out that time.
That's channel 2 over, around 400, 450. And the end of this visit with Cookie and Helen, this surprise visit, about supper time, this Monday, the 23rd of August, 71. They're just relaxing after all the company that they had for the funeral of Uncle Cluster. Channel 2 over, around 450. This, about supper time, this Monday. It rained while they were here and had that big stroke of lightning. This Monday the 23rd of August, 1971.